This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Thank you for joining us today on the latest edition of the Place to Be Nation Live Watch Party. I am your party host, Steve Woolley, and I have a couple guests to spend the next hour with us. I'll be introducing them shortly, but first, it's been a little bit since we've had a live watch party, so let's kind of reset, give you a little brief history of how we got here. On the original Place to Be Nation podcast, which I think it still goes on, Justin and Scott, they occasionally do some live watches of shows. They get some people on, and the people I have on here have all been on those. There were some Monday Night Raws and some Monday Nitros, some Saturday Night Main Event, and pretty much due to a change in scheduling and, you know, perhaps a massive falling out, who's to say, they felt that they kind of needed to cut back a little bit. Then, you know, after we took that break, like for me, I've always felt that watching wrestling amongst your friends, no matter how good or bad of a show it was, it just makes the experience so much more enjoyable. And it's kind of why we all got into wrestling to begin with, not just on our own, but to be around others with similar likes. And, you know, these times kind of when we got together and just, you know, got on Skype, watched a similar show together, it kind of reminded me of the Monday Night Wars, and fondly recollected those days where my friends gathered once a week and we'd have the two small tube TVs hooked up together, one with Nitro, one with Raw, and it was just a kind of a Monday night tradition. So after some thought, I decided that, you know, we should continue these live watches on as kind of like a standalone project with the help of my good buds, and hopefully it will bring back the frivolity and the nostalgia of those times for our listeners. And it's kind of a nice audio format that you can follow along with at home and feel like you're sitting around with your buds watching some good old-fashioned wrestling. So lately we've been doing 1993 Monday Night Raw episodes, and we've occasionally taken little forks off. We did some Survivor Series, and tonight we're going to do another such detour, and we're going to take it to the land of extreme to look at a recent upload to the network, and that's the first episode of ECW on TNN. So let me introduce you to our guest at this time. First, from Detroit, Michigan, and today's really an appropriate day to have him on. I call him the Man Beast, Jordan Duncan. Jordan, how are you doing?
I am fresh off of voting for Rhino, so I feel the gore.
Yes, a vote for Rhino is a vote for teachers.
It hurts a lot.
He's gonna gore the school board, just right through the boardroom table.
That's right, he is.
Well, good to
Thanks
have
for
you,
having me, sir.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I'm kind of excited to do this show.
It's interesting just watching one show because this might be the shortest podcast I've been on in 2 years.
Yeah,
when it's all said and done,
we need to cut away from the 5-hour, affairs, and
we'll leave that to Zellner.
Yes. And our other guest, I was trying to think of. You know, I don't know any Connecticut ECW references, so I'm just went as an extreme deep cut as I possibly can. The hot commodity of Place to Be Nation, Glenn Butler. Glenn, welcome.
Wow, that is high praise indeed, sir.
And it's just a short little crew tonight. It's just the three of us. We're, you know, taping on a weekday night and wanted to just get together. We had like this small little show. I was thinking about having another guest, but you know, people are afraid of the ECW. I think it's kind of sad that it gets a bad rap. It's still, to me, it's still kind of nostalgic looking back at some of these times and to see some of the things that stand up and some of the things that just really don't even remotely work.
I know that when in our group chat, when you're trying to decide between me and Glenn, I think your response was, "You're hardcore. You'll take us both." Correct?
Yes.
ECW fans will understand that line. We'll just think I'm being an idiot.
Does that mean I got caned for nothing?
That's right.
It was just an ECW hazing. We're also going to get you a bunch of Percocets.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take the good stuff anytime.
And based off of the smut thread, Becky Bayless will be there anytime.
Uh-oh.
Now, Glenn, I know that, you know, from your time on the super extreme vault, that you didn't really watch ECW at the beginning, right?
I did not watch ECW at the beginning. I have been watching quite a lot of it since the network started. In fact, I just, within the last week or so, started watching from the beginning of what they have in 93. And, of course, on the Super Extreme Vault, we did the pay-per-view series through 98 and into 99, up to around this time, actually.
Yeah, but, so you'll be familiar with everyone that you're going to see, but not familiar with what's happening at this current moment.
Right.
And Glenn, and Jordan, I mean, how about you? Where were you? I know Detroit did get ECW for a while. When did you come into ECW?
I first started, I mean, reading about it in the magazines, of course.
Right.
And I got a couple tapes here and there. We finally got it on TV in the summer of, it was the summer that Raven left. So that was 97, 98? When Tommy finally pinned him. That was like the first episode I ever got to watch.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty historic episode.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, basically from there, and it was funny, it came out at like 3 in the morning.
Sure.
On PASC Sports. But I set up the VCR and record it and watch it the next day, and having heard about it for so long and finally seeing it, it was pretty cool to watch this mythical promotion. And yeah, I was around when they went to TNN and what we're going to watch tonight and things like that. So I stuck with it right to the end from where I picked up.
And I sort of came in, it really came into the Midwest around 98.
Yeah, I think that's when Raven left for WCW.
Yeah, and I get murky with my years. You know, all the cane shots to the head.
Yeah.
You know, New Jack would always, you know, hit me with keyboards and whatnot. So it's very murky.
That was actually what you got if you bought your tickets the day of.
Right.
The day they went on sale. You got a free keyboard shot from New Jack. And if so you bought him in a walk-up, he'd staple them to your head, I heard.
Oh, jeez. Oh, and if you're in the front row, he'd ask you where the drugs are at. That, my friends, is a true story.
Wow. Thankfully, I never got front row seats.
Yes, I've had a couple front row seats at pay-per-views, and maybe in the super extreme vault, you'll at some point get to those.
I hope so, very much, yes. Also, Steve, where are the drugs at?
I honestly don't know. I can check my kitchen cabinet and see what we got. And maybe for the listeners, we can do a giveaway of some sort.
Well,
we have cat medicine if we need it, right?
Yes. My poor cat.
Well, you know what? I don't mean to impose on you. It never hurts to ask.
Sure.
Right. I mean, why not?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how many people are on this episode that are known drug fiends.
Yeah, that would ask, where are the drugs? Where are the drugs at?
So on the network, it's buried in the ECW vault section. They didn't separate the hardcore TVs from the TNN show. So this is August 27th, 1999. It's listed, at least on the Roku, as ECW Wrestling 1.
Yeah, same here.
Differentiated from ECW Hardcore TV. So I am on pause. We will start, and at really the perfect timing, bloody Devon is pouring lighter fluid on a table, which is ablaze. And this was actually the first show I ever was at, so it was kind of interesting that this was a house show in Chicago in 98. And we will start you there, and we will count everyone in who's watching at home, so you can watch along with us. And 3, 2, 1.
I'm wondering who this was that's getting power bombed, and it's Balls Mahoney.
It is Balls Mahoney.
All right.
Who is also bloody.
That's not a surprise.
Yeah. I don't remember if there's any guest host on this. This is Joey Styles for sure, as we could see.
That's funny. I went to NXT last weekend, and it reminds me of live ECW shows, the crowd, how it's so rabid. I think if you get to experience ECW live, it's so much different than watching it. I mean, watching it's pretty intense as it is when all you had ever seen was WCW and WWF, you know?
Oh, and totally. And actually, the NXT show that I went to in Green Bay was at the same place that an ECW show ran towards the end. The NXT crowd was much more rabid, actually.
A lot of RVD in this opening here. There's a New Jack Dive.
New Jack, of course.
Yep. Is that...
That's Steve Corino. Wow. Yes.
Very skinny, Steve Corino.
Dan McGinn with a chair shot right to him.
Super Crazy and Tajiri. Great match from one of the pay-per-views this year.
That's a famous moment. Tommy hitting Raven with the chair while he's handcuffed there.
And this was, of course, you know, something that ECW always did, was show the same, pretty much the same highlights.
Yeah.
For about a year straight in their theme.
Yeah.
And it does seem like they're featuring guys who were there at the time.
Big hero shot on Taz.
Yeah, that's for sure. Big. The only time they'll describe anything with Taz is big.
But, like, you know, like, at the time, Taz, to me at least, seemed like a certified badass.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you didn't know exactly how short. They didn't really say. You could tell, like, compared to Bam Bam Bigelow, but he looked like someone you would be really afraid of.
Yeah, they really did a great job building him up. I mean, that's all presentation. Because you see when he goes somewhere else and the presentation changes.
Definitely. There's a Jericho highlight. Dean Malenko.
They're going to... Joey Styles is from Toledo, and they said we're going to look back at some famous matches. Starting with a television championship, and they are going through a list of some of the more infamous champs.
Nice shot of Bam Bam Bigelow and the montage of people who've left ECW. I was so disappointed. For the Super Extreme Vault, I watched the WCW and WWF shows in the same month as each ECW pay-per-view, and I was so disappointed at a lot of the WCW shows, obviously, but also when I was watching one of them and Bam Bam Bigelow showed up, because I was just crushed that he's not going to be in ECW anymore.
Right. Yeah, and not surprisingly, WCW didn't handle him too well. I mean, they threw him right in there with Goldberg, but beyond that, he just immediately went to hardcore stuff, and it was WCW hardcore, which was kind of that jokey style, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think the next show I watched was Bam Bam versus Raven versus Hardcore Hack.
There's a sign that said, I watch City Guys. What was City Guys? It sounds familiar, but it's not ringing a total bell with me. Wasn't it like a Saturday morning show, like along the lines of Saved by the Bell?
I believe so. First, I was thinking of Matt Rats. And they did show a highlight of when RBD beat Bam Bam Bigelow for the title in April of 98. Mm-hmm. And this is August of 98, so he's been about almost 18 months at this point. Wow. And this is the Hardcore Heaven 99 show, which at some point I would think would be in the Super Extreme Vault.
That is the show that, through multitudinous circumstances and not really anyone's intention, we've just happened to have avoided doing for a very, very long time. Someday we will. I promise this. But for now, at the very least, we have this match featuring Jerry Lynn and RVD, which is, of course, a huge rivalry in history, or at least the way people recall it.
And Jerry Lynn just looks great here. Like, just amazing shape.
Yeah. City Guys is, by the way, it was a show in the vein of Saved by the Bell and those types. And Rob Van Dam made an appearance on it. Hence the sign.
And there are a lot of RVD signs at this show.
Oh, yeah. And one just said RVD takes it in the assembly.
Yes.
So a lot of classy signs as well.
Oh, sorry. Are we doing a PG CW podcast?
We're going to try our best.
What does 420 refer to? Can we look that
match
up?
Match time, I think.
Okay.
Average match time for RVD.
All the kids who watch ECW get out of their after-school programs.
Yes, the bus comes.
Yeah, that's when it started airing on PASS. Not 4:20 in the morning. Little highlight package of RVD.
I think RVD nowadays gets kind of a bad rap. And yeah. I don't know if I've ever been able to talk to him on one of these podcasts, but he was so over.
And, oh, yeah. You know,
like the things that he did at that time, no one had ever done before. And, you know, there's a lot of stalling that he would pull out. And, you know, some of the moves aren't exactly like this one, as instead of going down and to the mat, he does the splits.
Right.
Instead of just a typical drop down. But everybody loved him. And a lot of people now, like, pretended, I think, that they didn't like him at the time. But
yeah.
Yeah.
He was a guy who, it even translated beyond ECW, too. When he went to the WWF, he was huge. I mean,
right.
he was rivaling anybody in the company at that time in terms of popularity.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the sort of ennui with his last several appearances that people just kind of apply across the board.
Right.
And he is, like, here doing his typical stalling to the crowd and playing to the crowd for, you know, almost a minute at this point. So it doesn't work quite well for the TV audience, but for the live crowd,
right.
they're into it.
I do not remember Jerry Lynn being that big. Like, his shoulders are huge.
Yeah. Somebody, Jerry Lynn.
Oh, we got a Jerry Lynn package, too.
I love RVD gesturing, like, right in his face.
Mm-hmm. That's the most popular baby face in the company.
Yeah.
Total jerk move.
I like these little packages while they're stalling.
Yeah, showing the cradle pile driver.
Which is a move we will never see again.
No.
That last guy he did that to, it looked almost like Masaccio, but it couldn't have been Masaccio.
That was a kind of an overweight man.
Yeah.
Is it Wing Kimura, I think, came into ECW a lot at this time.
Is RVD already bleeding? It looks like from his eye.
Yeah,
yes.
It does.
Like, has RVD become a statue of the Virgin Mary? He's, like, crying blood?
Yeah. This is not the most famous of their matches, though, is it?
No, I don't believe so. That.
So we. Yeah.
Jerry Lynn has already lost once to RVD at this point. In a pay-per-view match.
Crazy. Top rope dive, and he lands on his knees.
Yeah. And Jerry Lynn's had a lot of health problems recently. And I know he just had surgery this year. There's like a big, like a GoFundMe account for him.
Oh, wow. I didn't know about that at all. That's a bummer.
There's a nice puddle of blood on the floor.
Yeah.
Something else you wouldn't see these days. Come on, John Finnegan, get the gloves on.
Yeah, they have to send out the medics. The ECW medics to stop the match, right? God, what are the medics like in ECW?
They'd have the fake ECW paramedics earlier on in like 95, I'd say.
But the actual medics?
No.
Where the drugs at? That's about it. I would guess a lot of these guys self-medicated.
Jerry Lynn would be like one of the few guys who are like, I'm not totally sure about him.
Yeah.
RVD, obviously.
Right.
Landstorm, notoriously kind of a straight edge guy. Oh my gosh, Bulldog off the second rope almost dropped him on his head.
Who's the guy in the front row with the headset on and the blue dress shirt?
Paul Heyman's accountant, probably.
Paul Heyman had an accountant?
Yeah.
Not a good one.
Not a good one.
Who was his accountant? Like, Moisha Dangerously?
All right. Thoughts on Bill Alfonso? Jordan, what are...
As a heel, great, because he is so annoying and so obnoxious, but I feel like when the crowd took the RVD and he just stuck with him, it didn't make a ton of sense, because really his whole character is just out there to annoy and blow a whistle over and over and over again.
Yeah, this match is incredibly fast-paced now.
Yeah, it is. Holy cow. They're like, looks like we had a commercial break, come back into a dive over the railing into the front row.
These were Jerry Lynn, like when he fell on that, did he bust his nose or was that a different match here?
I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't really seen his. Oh, yeah, looks like maybe.
Yeah, when he fell off the top rope, he dropped into the part of the floor that was exposed.
Guys, I know that we've asked where the drug's at, but there's a sign that's asking another good question. Got Beaver?
Yeah, that's on WWE.
Oh, for, was it Beaver Cleavage? RVD just picking up.
He did hit the mat.
Yeah, his face did hit the mat, but it still looks like he got himself messed up. I love during this time all of RVD's dives like into the second or third row.
Right.
So this match is definitely cut from the pay-per-view.
Yeah, they're jumping around.
Yeah, it's a smart idea for a first show to.
Well, with these guys, you know, RVD with the style that he wrestles, there's a lot of risk, which means a lot of stuff doesn't hit quite as well. But if you're doing like a cut, you can get rid of all that stuff and everything's going to look great.
And the difference of audience that they are getting, you know, from 3:20 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning on,
right,
you know, whatever
like 8 or
UHF station versus, you know, national cable prime time. Van Damme actually throwing some decent punches there.
Yeah, I was just thinking, that's what I think be the first good punch I've ever seen him throw.
Sunset flip powerbomb. A little more action here than the 93 Royals we've been watching.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, do you remember when Fryer Ferguson did that sunset flip powerbomb?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mr. Hughes did that to Dwayne Gill.
That's something I didn't even think about. I mean, we could still do most 90s here. We're still in the 90s.
Yeah, we are, but we're just switching to late 90s.
Yeah, well, late 90s still has some very, very 90s things.
Very definitive 90s.
And if you have ECW fans, you know, they're, I mean, a little bit turn back the clock as it is. I mean, you got the guy in the front row right now with a long perm and sunglasses on.
At the same time, though, the whole ECW phenomenon just feels very, very late 90s.
Yeah, I was just thinking to myself, maybe just nominating ECW as a whole as most 90s.
There's a stunt granny in the front row. It's actually three females in the front row. That's
got to be an all-time record for ECW.
It's like Arn Anderson standing right behind Jerry Lynn.
There's a possibility for the best mullet, the Atlas security guy.
Yeah, I was noticing him.
So that's what Bill Alfonso was best for, I think, during this space run, is helping RVD set up some of the Van Damme air shots.
Yeah.
Jerry Lynn was just straddling the barricade. Bill Alfonso threw a chair into him, and RVD kicked him in the noggin.
Yeah, it seems that the hypnotism that RVD uses to convince people to catch chairs when he throws them at them, Bill Alfonso can work that magic too.
Yes.
That was a nice little spot where we come back from the break where Rob does basically a moonsault just to land and pick up a chair and throw it at Jerry Lynn.
Some wasted motion.
Yeah. And that's stuff you see in like every indie these days. Yeah. Every single indie. And this is, you know, nearly 20 years ago at this point, 17 years ago. Oh, geez, Jerry Lynn teasing a tornado DDT from the top rope to the floor.
Mm-hmm. A nice clothesline, too, from RVD to send him back into the ring.
And a pretty dangerous-looking springboard leg drop, too.
Yeah, his legs just went all wobbly while he's in midair there. So we're about 15 minutes into the episode, and they've done some jump cuts, like probably 5 or 6 times. How long is this original match from the actual pay-per-view? It's over 20 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, I feel like
was
some
this
of the
close to 30?
Yeah, I feel like either the first one or the second one was close to 30 minutes long.
Yeah. I remember there was one ECW show, I don't know if it was a pay-per-view or not, where Sabu was in a match, like a 30-minute match, and he was just like puking in the corner.
Oh, yes, I remember that one. That was ugly.
Yeah, it was awful.
I don't remember which pay-per-view it was, but it's one that we did for the Extreme Vault.
It might have been Sabu against Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, it might have been. They had at least one match that was pretty terrible.
Yeah, it was.
So this, they didn't say this in the show, but this is a no time limit match. And it did go 27 minutes.
Okay.
Jerry Lynn put RVD through a table with a sunset flip powerbomb.
Second one of the match.
Yes.
He almost lost his balance and bonked his head right on the apron, too, because his foot hit the table, I think, sooner than he wanted it to.
So they've plugged in, I think, some music for the Extreme Replay that was not part of the original. It sounded like sleazy pornography music.
I don't know. That might have been part of the original. Wow, Bill O'Fan.
Oh!
It's got waffled in a chair.
Oh, that's the greatest thing ever.
And Jerry Lynn hit a hard German suplex.
Yeah, he did. That was pretty awesome. You know what's crazy that speaks to the style of ECW is these guys are doing insane stuff right now, and the crowd's basically just sitting.
Yeah.
Like, if that was on Raw last night, the crowd would have been insane.
There'd be RVD, Jerry Lynn, dueling chants.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
This is wrestling. Yeah. This is wrestling might be my least favorite chant in the world.
Yes.
Whether you like it or not, it's all wrestling.
I think it might be the least favorite chant of anyone who's watching wrestling with me, because whenever they start chanting that, I say, oh, I thought I was watching the Home Shopping Channel. Thank you.
Home Shopping. Like, think of, like, at a baseball game, do they ever break out in
This Is Baseball?
Like when a sitcom is filmed in front of a live studio audience, do people start chanting, you know, this is the Big Bang Theory?
We went to the NXT show last weekend, and I can't remember what match that broke out in. Maybe the Sami Zayn match, but then they had Eva Marie come out, and I tried to start a This Is Wrestling chant. Didn't quite work, but...
Thank you for the attempt.
But I was right, because it was.
It looked like they tried to go for a top rope belly-to-belly suplex.
Yeah,
I don't know if it meant to actually be hit, because I don't even know the physics of how that would work.
Ah, and Jerry Lynn turned RVD's magic back on him.
Yes.
Catch this.
Dropkick the chair. Whoa!
Now.
The front row in the yellow shirt with the goatee and the glasses.
Yeah.
It looks like he's not supposed to be there. It looks like he also might have a heart attack shortly.
Well, he was
just kind of sitting there, dumbfounded.
He was just, like, shouting some stuff out to the guys. I was wondering if he's, like, the road agent. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jerry's going for the cradle pile driver. It's called the cradle pile driver, right?
Yes.
Another guy in the front row with a nice, like, Nikon camera. And then there's a guy in a suit for some reason.
Well, you know, sometimes when you're going to the theater, you want to look nice.
And he's standing, like, by himself. He's probably just like, I've severely overdressed for this occasion. What have I done?
Oh, goodness gracious me.
Oh, they're both bleeding all over each other.
Excuse me, dear gentleman. Where are the drugs at?
God, Beaver.
I heard that there was the marijuana here.
I have come for the 420.
And now he's gone. He
found it!
There. He must have got it. Oh, no.
Oh, there he is.
Is he teleporting?
Oh, he's back again. Yep.
Guys, I think we've just discovered a time traveler.
He's looking around at the crowd like he's trying to find someone, like you know, the next great dictator is like in that crowd and he's trying to stop them.
We could be watching an episode of Quantum Leap.
Jerry Lynn's face is a mess right now.
Ziggy says there's a 90% chance RVD is winning this match.
Right, maybe he changed the results and we won't know it because our history will remain however we think it was supposed to be.
Do you think that by watching this together, we're changing history ourselves?
We could be. It's kind of like the Berenstain Bears theory, you know?
My guide on this journey is Steve.
A hologram from his own time.
Take the Patronus shape of a Steve.
Steve, you're my Patronus.
Ooh, thank you. 5-star frog splash.
And you're kicked out of one already.
But not that one.
Interesting pin there from our feet. It just mounted him.
What?
Well, that was fun.
That was quite a match.
Yeah.
Now, are they? They're piping some music in for RVD. That is, you'd think they would have just put his WWE theme in there.
Oh, we've got a blurred out phone number on the screen.
Damn.
The ECW website is still.
Yeah, ECWWrestling.com. Well, that's probably like Paul Heyman's like personal number is what it was, to be honest.
So I am, of course, now dialing up the ECWWrestling.com website.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't take me anywhere.
So Extreme Championship Wrestling, Wrestling.com.
Yes.
ECW Wrestling.
Yeah.
Little shot at Stone Cold. We're going to talk about the title that Stone Cold Steve Austin couldn't win.
Oh, dip.
Guys.
The women's title.
The Friday night thrill zone will continue after the show with the season premiere of...
Would it be Roller Jam?
Roller Jam! The California Quakes will defend against the New York Enforcers.
Wow. When was Slam Ball? Was that...
That feels like that was later.
Yeah.
I don't know if that... Was that on TNN as well?
Yeah. Oh, wow. There's a Conan sighting.
Well, they're talking about the people who have never won the ECW title.
Okay.
Of course, they're all people who are in other organizations.
Right.
Was that Ron Simmons in 911? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Chris Benoit wringing his hands, strangely.
Back to 94.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Keep our eye out for most 90s here. This could be our chance.
This is August 27th, 94. I've heard of this. The Birth of Extreme.
Well, that's cool. So the episode is August 27th, 99, huh?
Yeah.
So 5 years to the day. Very cool. Assuming WWE Network got the date right, because they're usually one day off on just about every show.
Yeah. You see the guy in the front row with the blue shirt and the beard?
Yes.
That is a very 90s look. It's a shirt. It's a sleeveless shirt.
You know who he looks like? Have you guys watched Making a Murderer?
Yes.
He looks like the guy that did commit the rape that Stephen Avery went to prison for. Doesn't he?
Well, I feel I don't need to watch the show because I lived the actual...
Yeah, I know.
And that was not far away from where I live. Say about 45 minutes.
That is a tank top right there.
Oh, yeah.
So now on Place to Be Nation podcast, I have established that I live very close to where Stephen Avery committed a murder, and I also lived right around the corner from where Jeffrey Dahmer committed a murder.
Triangulating.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer, now he was a Wisconsin 8, right?
Yes. Very attractive man.
A-T-E.
So replaying
thank you.
The moment that Shane McMahon dumped the NWA title into the trash.
Shane Douglas, I believe, not Shane McMahon.
Did I say Shane McMahon?
That'd be awesome if he did that.
Yeah, talk about time travel.
Yeah.
Now the name of the champion was Shane.
Right.
Right.
You shouldn't have corrected that. We should have just left that right there and just let it hang. They really mean Shane McMahon? I did just watch a Raw this morning with Shane McMahon on it.
No, I was just thinking earlier today of Vince McMahon's ECW title reign in 2007 and how at the time we were all ready for Shane McMahon to win the ECW title.
Right.
Or at least a lot of us were. That seemed like something that could actually be pretty cool. And then Vince won it and said the N-word on pay-per-view and wore his do-rag and... Yeah...
That was something.
It was ECW, baby.
Mm-hmm. So this episode is basically just introducing people to what ECW is.
Yes.
They're showing basically everyone there.
Showing all the people who had the title.
We're at Michigan.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
I was at, yeah, this was a show I was at. This was one of the debut matches of Rhino.
Rhino confronting
show from Chicago in 1999, I believe.
Who's in the wheelchair with Steve Corino?
Jack Victory.
Jack Victory, okay. Rhino doesn't look any...
That in the sweater in the front row right now, black and gray sweater, that is Colt Cabana.
Oh, wow, okay. So many people on screen right now that have their own podcasts.
Right.
And one that occasionally does.
Yeah, including in the crowd, because like everyone has a podcast.
And I believe I'm a couple rows behind Colt Cabana in this, so there we go. I think mine is the most popular right now.
Rhino starts the match with a powerbomb. Oh,
Taz gets his hand blurred because this is also
full arm.
Taz no selling the powerbomb.
Maybe that should have been our hint that Taz wasn't as tall as we thought. His whole arm was blurred.
I remember that moment where he no sold the powerbomb and you're like, holy shit. Like for a moment here, you know, suspending your disbelief, like, wow, he's super tough. You never see that.
Taz was pretty awesome. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I love Taz.
Yeah.
There's a sign, I'm not gay.
Methinks that person...
me assume that
could possibly be one of the most 90s things.
Yeah, they do protest too much.
Yeah.
Oh no, protesting too much is still a deeply held tradition.
Oh, and I froze for a second.
Sid is a bitch. Head and arm Tazplex. Rhino's probably only like 21 here.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. He still looks, doesn't really look much older now.
No, he's...
And he's probably weighs less.
Oh, jeez. Second rope, head overhead, belly to belly.
Jeez.
I always kind of liked that they would call them all Tazplexes.
Yeah.
This is a little nostalgia for me. Like, I remember the powerbomb spot. I don't remember anything else. Like, that was something that stuck with me because it's just not something you see. What's this? They're spelling Taz with one Z?
Can I go with Rhino's eyebrow piercing as most 90s?
Ooh.
That might be my pick.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Rhino's an I, not a Y?
Yeah.
Heresy.
Well, I'm thinking I might have been at a show around this time because it was also when Rhino hadn't been in the company for long, but obviously in Detroit. Taz was not on the show that I was at, though. He's just not even responding to those punches.
Yeah, just totally no-selling him. And then big Tazplex through the table, puts him on his neck.
Head first through the table.
Ugh.
Might as well put in the Taz mission because that didn't kill him enough.
Yeah, and it might be time for the Kata Hajime. For like 5 seconds. And then that table hasn't gotten worked out enough yet.
Well, Taz's theme that they've dubbed in at least sounds somewhat similar.
Would that be, like, the best character ever to be as a pro wrestler? Like, imagine, like, your promoter came in and said, this is what I want you to do. Don't sell anything. And do anything you want to him. I mean, of course Taz is going to get over. I mean...
You don't really have to take any bumps at all. He took one bump in that match.
Take one bump and immediately stand up like it didn't hurt.
Here's the core concept of your character. You are taciturn. Just taciturn as hell.
T-A-Z.
Hey!
showing a highlight package of Taz's toughest rival, Sabu, who they earlier said is banned from competing in the United States.
Really? I wonder where Sabu was at this time. So this is August of 99. So...
he was, I believe he was out with an injury because he came back at the Anarchy Rules pay-per-view, which happened in September.
Yep.
Okay. And the Sabu video package has a clip of him moonsaulting onto an empty table that is literally from 1993. I mean, you don't let go of a good clip, and it's fine enough in the package, but wow.
An athlete so violent you can't see him live anymore. He is banned from competing in the United States for another 3 weeks. Oh, flying over, hitting Cactus Jack or Mick Foley as Mankind. Oh my. Come back to Spike Dudley versus Sal Graziano.
Now, if I recognize the venue properly, this is Queens?
Yeah, this is Hammerstein, I believe.
See, there was another ballroom they ran that I thought was Hammerstein, but then looked it up and it was Queens. So... It matters very little. What matters is little Spike the Giant Killer.
Yeah. And beat Sal Graziano in about 10 seconds.
And he's a hugger.
the original Bailey. A very brutalized version of Highway to Hell playing in the background. Let me come back to hear Jason, the sexiest man on earth.
He was still there in 99, because he was there, I mean, early 90s.
Yeah, he was someone else who was there from the beginning, almost.
Goes, yeah. Former TV champion, Jason, I believe. I might be wrong.
By this time, probably.
Yeah. Wasn't Spike Dudley a school teacher, by the way?
Yes.
Was he? What did he teach?
Children. Just Incredible referred himself as the one-man crime spree.
Wow. Everyone's trying to outdo each other there, but I mean, Sabu's genocidal. I mean, you can't really top that, I don't think.
Yeah, is that just...
crimes you want to brag about?
Is that just a testament to the degree to which his opponents managed to stop him, that he never actually committed genocide?
Yeah, so in a way, they're all heroes.
I mean, people rag on the characters in the WWF for wrestling and having another job, but Sabu was wrestling and wanted to commit ethnic cleansing? I mean, what sort of genocide are we talking about?
What is on Cyrus's forehead?
A third eye.
Yeah.
Cyrus cutting a promo and Dawn Marie, aka Tammy Lynn bitch, is trying to poke her head in and get the camera time. Lance Storm called himself the greatest natural athlete in wrestling. That is some buzz cut that Lance Storm has going on at this point.
I like Lance's tank top just says, "The Gym." That's all it says, "The Gym."
So I don't know, Glenn. I mean, you have RVD and Jerry Lynn to look forward to for Hardcore Heaven and a Sid appearance.
Yeah, all the Sid appearances I've seen in ECW have been proper fun. You know,
he had cocaine on his forehead at that point. And that's...
Well, that's another one for the list, right?
Right. Yeah, I wonder why Jason was just hanging around. Because he didn't wrestle for quite a long time.
Right.
Nor was he the sexiest man on earth, but I guess that's a matter of opinion.
Sexiest man in that clip, would you say it was Jason, Just Incredible, Lance Storm, or Cyrus?
Ooh.
Was he even the sexiest man in that room? I'm going to say no.
Who are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with Lance Storm.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, the buzz cut, it makes me think of the brother from Weird Science, so it makes me nostalgic. He had a nice little... I know he went to the gym recently. So...
I had that ECW magazine. I still have it, in fact.
Oh, wow.
It's autographed by many people at that pay-per-view, the Anarchy Rules pay-per-view that they're talking about in September. Bellar are just running down the roster, aren't they?
Yeah, basically. Lawler must die. He must. There's no other option.
Man, Chris Chetty is still hanging on, huh?
And yeah. Dancing with Lita.
Yeah, with Miss Congeniality, correct?
Yes.
Kamala?
Wait, what? Wow. I don't remember that moment.
I do remember little Spike Dudley beating the One Man Gang. That was another highlight.
A lot of deceased people in this clip. There's one of them, Axel Rotten, recently deceased.
And not too long ago. I did see, speaking of deceased, I saw Hayabusa for a second earlier in the episode.
Ah, yes. Danny Doring, long and Amish Roadkill, who, if you listen to the Kevin Kelly podcast with Jay Lethal,
yep.
You'll know that he's a giant jerk.
I love how a lot of these people have, like, nicknames or little descriptions, and all Lance Storm gets is Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
This feels like this was when I was into ECW the most, like, looking at the roster. Because, yeah, I did check out the magazines and such, but...
I would say around here, too. I wouldn't say it was at its best, but, I mean, it was most available to me as well.
Exactly.
Which helps.
Jerry and Carino.
What is funny is, despite being most into it, I couldn't tell you who was like a baby face here, or, you know, who was feuding with who at this time.
Yeah, kind of trivialities like that kind of fall by the wayside a little bit.
Right.
Taz giving a promo, I'm assuming, to finish off the show. Just kind of explaining ECW. Talking about flaming tables, Dudley's powerbombing through him.
It's funny, is it looks like he's just wearing a terrible wig.
It does. It's like a shredded towel of some
yeah.
sort.
Looks like when Dave Chappelle would be Rick James.
Taz showing off his hands.
It's actually pretty good promo.
Yeah, there's no problem there, pal. Guaranteed.
He's talking about how everyone uses weapons like chairs or flaming tables, and he has the most powerful weapons in ECW, and those are his hands.
That's neat.
Yeah. That's cool. He doesn't need a flaming table.
Yeah, but if you had one, why not use it?
Oh. He's calling out Chris, saying the big WWE superstar, Chris Jericho, is beating him, talking about all the WWE guys he's beaten.
Yeah, brand new WWF guy at this point, I guess.
Yes.
Little do you know that that bragging point would be rendered moot when China would beat Chris Jericho in about 2 months.
Throwing shade at Shane Douglas for leaving for WCW.
I would, too. That was a poor choice. Well, I mean, I'm sure he got paid, so...
Yeah, exactly.
That seems to be a theme of this show, is showing, like, look at our guys have beaten all the guys in WCW and WWE. They were here first, and our guys beat them.
You see, that's usually something that I hate in wrestling shows. Like, when they keep going on and on about people in other wrestling companies.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I see the point here, because they're introducing themselves to an audience that might not know them, and they're featuring their people beating the people from WCW, bad-mouthing the people in WWF. So I see the point of that. It's just that tends to come off a little obnoxious to me.
Right, and it can have a negative effect in the sense that everyone will be like, well, why'd they all leave?
Yeah, that too.
You know?
I'm checking him out. Jerry Lawler saying that was a day off.
That was a day off. That's good. And that Lawler stuff was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That was 90, I think summer 97?
Yep.
Maybe not even summer. Was it summer?
That's some part of my viewing that I have not seen.
Oh, okay. You should watch that. It's fun stuff.
Like, same thing as you, Jordan. I knew of it from reading about it online and in magazines.
Yeah, I went back after we got into it and got a lot of the tapes from, you know, all their commercials. And I definitely didn't have all of them, but probably everything from 96 and 97 I wound up getting.
I had a couple of them. I think the ones that were shown, it was like Volume 1 and a Volume 2.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Chris Jericho match in there. And
well, it seems like they would advertise the same ones over and over. The night Kamana wanna lay a dance atop the ECW.
That was arena. That was one I had. That was yes. Like, it took like 20 minutes. It's like, okay, that's enough.
And basically, she just did it because there's like a malfunction with the ring.
Right, which is total ECW.
Yeah. Send a chick out to take off her clothes.
That's a very long promo to call to end off the show. And that will do it.
Yes, sir.
Whew. That's definitely different than watching Raw.
Yes, yes.
Let's start with most 90 guys. I think the best match is obvious. It was the RVD Jerry Lynn match.
It was the match. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless you're gonna go Big Sally and Spike Dudley's
really
10-second
likes
position.
Yourself some Spike Dudley. Yeah.
There are a lot of 90s moments. Glenn, what was yours you were going with?
Well, you mentioned Colt Cabana in a sweater earlier, and I think I spotted a few like pretty distinctively late 90s sweaters out there.
That's definitely a thing. Like the not quite flannel. Like you gotta have
yep.
Like the three stripes of differing size, and at the bottom it's the solid color of the stripe.
Yeah,
that's man. See, there's so many different things. Jordan, did you have one?
I mean, there's a couple. The mullet on the security guard was. Well, we could give that the best mullet though.
Oh sure.
I really thought Rhino's eyebrow ring was jarring when I noticed it.
Making of a murder guy.
Yeah, that's true. But that might even be 80s, though. Most 80s.
Yeah, making a murderer guy might get the Dynamite Kid Memorial Facial Hair Award.
Yes. Yeah, it definitely should. So, you know, I'll just side with Glenn and take his sweater choice.
Yeah, I can go with that. I can be fine with that. I'm trying to think if I saw any.
There's
other,
no one person jumped out at
me. Yeah.
No, I guess like. A 90s wrestling thing is the just massive amounts of black wrestling shirts in the crowd.
Yeah.
That was definitely a wrestling trope at that time.
I had that conversation with someone not that long ago about how when they finally figured out, hey, let's just make black shirts with words on them instead of like, you know, prior to that, if you wanted like an Undertaker shirt, you just got a giant picture of the Undertaker's face on a shirt. You know, like
on a shirt that might have been purple.
Right,
right. Exactly.
Yellow Razor Ramon.
And then they figured out the black thing with Steve Austin and the NWO, and then everybody did it. Everybody.
And ECW was probably the worst offender.
Oh, yeah. Not a question.
Probably, like, backed up a truck in Jersey of black Fruit of the Looms.
A lot of them probably fell off the truck.
Right.
It's true.
All right, so... mullet of the night, definitely the Atlas security guard, like the big 300-pound dude.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And let's give it a rating like we would Raw. Okay. Jordan, what would you say?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. And viewing it for what it was, kind of an introduction to the promotion, they showed every star. They contended with the champion. They showed what a lot of their fans were calling the best match they had. I'll go high. I'll give it a. Can we go halves?
Sure.
I'll go 8.5.
Wow. All right, Glenn.
I agree with Jordan. I liked the introductions. I liked the highlight on Taz. I liked, obviously, the main match that they had, and that match has a style that really holds up because it was, you know, very influential. It's something that I think we said during the match would fit in a lot of places today. So I'll go with a 7.
And I'm going to go with 8. I think that, see, I do, and I think that maybe the judicious use of editing made it flow a lot better.
Sure.
Where there wasn't a lot of that stall in the beginning, you saw, you know, like 30 seconds to a minute of it. But you know, I kind of disagree with people who say that that's like not a match that holds up. I mean, yeah, it has a lot of back and forth, and for some people that's not their cup of tea. But sure. And that is a standard indie match right there in 2016, that's only a half hour instead of like 10 minutes.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Sure, and then you had the. I thought it dragged a little bit at the last 10 minutes or so with just, you know, straight promos.
Yeah, or like, but here's everyone on the roster. You know, maybe just show 5-6 guys and highlight them. But
yeah, you can kind of, you know, pace it out a little bit over the first few episodes and introducing some of the guys, so you can, you know, have a reason to keep turning back in. And I guess that's kind of ECW style, right? Just like throw up everything and.
Yeah.
Rapid fire videos.
I do like that in highlighting the entire roster, they even gave like the Amish roadkill. You know?
Pretty much everybody but the jobbers.
Yeah. I mean, that would be like if NXT did an episode like that, like putting Mojo Rawley on there, you know? Like, and Mojo Rawley's here.
Ty Dillinger, Peyton Royce. All right, guys. Well, man, we're leaving early. Like, I feel like we should be watching another episode.
I know. Like, what's the next one?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do a 93. Yeah. Let's do a 93 Raw.
Yeah. No thanks.
Well, there might be a Bo Beverly match.
Yeah, that would be a jarring discrepancy. We'd probably do like a 2, even though we might end up being pretty good.
So we have live watched the first ECW, the first Nitro, and the first Raw.
Correct.
And Saturday night's main event.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Where's the first Smoky Mountain? Is that one on there?
Or the first AWA. That would be something to find.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Wow.
It might be hard to track.
Be a lot of pasty white fat men.
No, let's go and do Tuesday Night Titans.
Yeah, sounds good.
That could be a possibility. I tried watching that. It was pretty slow.
It's pretty slow, and with all the talk show segments, it might not be great for the live watch.
Yeah. Steve, what are they saying? What are they saying now?
What's Lord Al saying, Steve? Now what's Roddy Piper saying?
That's usually where the live watches of Raw kind of grind to a halt when they have the extended promos.
Except the Brutus Beefcake horrific life story.
Yeah, kill yourself. Is that what he said? Kill yourself or something? Or you suck or something like that. Some guy shouts it from the crowd as poor Brutai is pouring out his heart and soul.
That was that, yes.
You know what? Hey, I just thought of something. Can I change my most 90s to the sign that says, I'm not gay?
Yeah, that was the saddest. That was the saddest part of the 90s.
You know, I hope that that person, whoever they are, loves themselves now.
Yeah, because they clearly didn't at that point.
Because what, like, let's just get into it. I mean, we have time, right?
Sure.
What makes a person buy a Sharpie, get a poster board for, you know, 89 cents at your local Walmart? Because clearly it was at a Walmart. And write, you know what I'm going to write, guys? This is going to be really good. I'm going to be on camera. I'm going to write, I'm not gay. At a show that really wasn't supposed to be televised. It was a house show.
I just want everyone there to know that I'm not.
Really, I'm not. I'm really, really not. So please don't come up to me.
And yet when Francine versus Dawn Marie wrestled, that's when he chose to go get a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
The writing's on the wall, Mr. Or Miss. I don't even know if it was a man or a woman, to be honest.
It was a man.
Okay.
Because it's an easy
I mean, there's a 99.8% chance
yeah.
that you're right.
Well, you know what? The standard ECW crowd skewed a little young at this point, right?
Sure. Yeah.
There were a lot of older people there, but like it was kind of an edgy thing, kind of an attitudinal thing. It kind of skewed a little young. At least that's the impression I have.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah, like guys in their early 20s for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, we were all that young. We were all that young, you know, kind of around this time or a little before or a little after. And the pressures are great. So I kind of understand. I just hope that person loves themselves now.
Man, see, I'm thinking like this is 99, so I'm 23 at this point. I don't know of a time in my life where there was less pressure than when I was 23 years old. I mean, like, not a care in the world.
Okay, not a care in the world as far as maybe getting a job or supporting yourself or getting a house or a family or whatever, but I mean specifically in terms of gender politics and sexual politics.
I wonder if perhaps maybe he'd never been to an ECW show and thought, this might be the perfect time to reveal a deep truth about myself. And it originally said that he was gay. I just said, I'm gay. And then he saw that it was men stapling things to each other's faces and asking where drugs were and realized this might not be the best crowd to share that with.
Or maybe that's the sort of person who likes to hijack things. Like, there are people who hijack, like, National Coming Out Day or whatever to come out as straight or come out as a Christian, you know? And that's... I don't know that I have time to go into all the reasons that sucks, but maybe that's that sort of person.
It could be.
Maybe they were just ruthlessly teased by their friends for going to a wrestling event. You know, isn't that gay? You're gay if you like wrestling.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, oh, you like to... There are guys rolling around.
So then he brought a sign that says, I'm not gay, to an event that was really not supposed to be televised.
That his friends would never see.
That his friends would never, ever, ever see. Because
they don't watch wrestling anyways.
So I guess fundamentally, whatever the reason, he was stupid.
You know, if you're out there, sir...
Yes.
Get in touch with us. Michael Vincent, let us know that was you.
Very well have been.
Yeah. We tracked down the male family from King of the Ring. Who knows? Maybe we'll find this guy, and maybe he's got a touching story to tell. Life did get better for him, hopefully.
Now, that wasn't Colt Cabana, right?
No.
And it wasn't you, Steve, right?
No, it was not. It was not me as well.
Okay, well, we're narrowing it down.
Oh, I will tell you a story off the air. Not need to be told in public.
Uh-oh.
That has to do about signs at ECW shows. And with that, let's get out of here before I spill too much information.
Yeah, right?
Oh, all right, for Glenn... For Jordan, for myself, Steve Willey, thank you very much for listening. It's been a pleasure taking you on this road of extreme. And, you know, we'll be back in a month or so with who knows what else. We like to decide these things on a moment's notice and kind of see where the roads take us. I think I need a little less extreme next time. Maybe some Glow. We can watch, like, the first episode of Glow. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Guys, I'm not drunk.
Where are the drugs at?
Good night, everyone. Listen to all our other podcasts.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da da. I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out. I could've cheated and I could've passed. but I got high. I'm taking it next semester, and I know why. Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next.
I was going to go to work, but then I got high. Ooh, I just got a new promotion, but I got high. Now I'm selling dope, and I know why. Because I got high. Because I got high. I was going to go to court. Before I got high, I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I got high. I wasn't gonna run from the cops, but I was high.
I'm serious, man.
I was gonna pull right over and stop. But I was high. Now I'm a paraplegic, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. I was gonna pay my car note until I got high.
Say what?
I wasn't gonna gamble on the boat, but then I got high. Now the tow truck's pulling away, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I got high. I was gonna make love to you, but then I got high.
Help me sing. I'm serious.
I was gonna eat your pussy too, but then I got high. Now I'm jacking off, and I know why.
Turn the shit off.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I messed up my entire life because I got high.
Go.
I lost my kids and wife because I got high.
Say what?
Now I'm sleeping on the sidewalk and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, because I got high. I'ma stop singing this song because I'm high.
President, baby,
I'm singing this whole thing wrong because I'm high.
Bring it back.
And if I don't sell one copy, I'll know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I'm high.
Are you really high, though, man? He really is high, man.
Shoop, shoop, shooby doo wah.
Get jiggy with it. Skippity bebop. Doo-wah. Oh, bring it back.
Say what? Cause I'm high.
What a cluck at,
huh? Well, my name is Afro Man, and I'm from East Palmdale. And all the tumbleweed I be smoking is bomb as hell, yeah.
Excellent delivery.
I don't believe in Hitler, that's what I said.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, so all of you skins, please give me more head. Afro motherfucker, M-A-E. A-E-I-O-U. And sometimes W. We ain't gonna sell none of these motherfucking albums, cuz.
Let's go back to Marshall Durbin and hang some more chickens, cuz. Fuck it.
Fuck the corporate world, biatch!